promotion, a new house, a new car, a new baby. New things are great, aren't they? I love them, don't you? But eventually the shine comes off and life falls into the same old routine. Are you tired of new things getting old? Would you like something that lasts, that gives purpose and life and meaning? That's what we're going to talk about today.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy. And today Chip continues his series, Breaking Through Life's Biggest Barriers. If you or someone you know is stuck in a rut right now, and feels like there's no way out, today's message will bring some much needed hope and encouragement. To hear the message again or to share it with a friend, simply go to livingontheedge.org, click Listen Now, and share. It couldn't be easier. Now let's join Chip for part two of his message, How to Overcome Personal Stagnation.
Seven keys to personal growth. The first, live daily with the end in view. It's the key to motivation. Second, make a personal commitment. It's the key to overcoming inertia. Third, value process more than event. It's the key to progress. So you get discouraged thinking you're not making progress. You're making progress. Real growth is slow. Fourth, cultivate stimulating relationships. It's the key to inspiration. Growing people arrange their lives and their schedules, are you ready? To be around growing people. To be inspired, to be challenged, to be stretched. Every time I rub up against people that are walking with God and are, they're ahead of me here and they're making progress there. Every time I get near them, I want to lean forward into it. And there's times where there's people that have huge needs and I feel inadequate and I don't know, but when then I get involved in their life and I get stimulated and I realize God can use a regular guy like me, He can use a regular person like you. Growing people cultivate. I chose that word carefully. You have to rearrange your schedule. You cultivate stimulating relationships. In fact, the Bible commands us to. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider, let us ponder how we may spur or stimulate one another on to what? Love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage, exhort, get the idea? One another all the more as you see the day approaching, the day of Christ's return. You gotta have a small group. You gotta have a mentor. You gotta have a mentoree. There's some people that can mentor you. You can become close friends with some of the greatest people in the world today because of technology. Billy Graham and I are on a first name basis. I've never met him. But I'm on page 680 something. I've learned and been inspired because I'm reading his autobiography. Every week I listen to three or four messages of other people around the country. And they inspire me and they encourage me. And you know, it's not a hard thing to say, I'm going to read a half hour before I go to bed instead of watch TV for an hour before I go to bed. Do you know what happens when you read a half hour before you go to bed and you do that 300 days a year? Transforms your life. But see, you've got to cultivate with the time that you have stimulating relationships. Why? Next verse, Proverbs 13:20. He who dwells with a wise man will be wise. She who dwells with a wise woman will be wise, but the companion of a fool will suffer harm. I don't know anything about you, but I can tell this about you and about me right now. Whoever your closest friends are, whoever you're running with right now, in 5 years, you'll be just like them. So I just made a decision. I'm going to run around with people better, smarter, more holy, more godly, more energetic, more intelligent, more creative than me. And I'm just praying some of it's going to rub off. You got to balance the positive relationships with the draining relationships. You need both. Both stimulate. Fifth, people who grow choose to become progressive risk takers. It's the key to change. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not hard, it's impossible. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe two things. First, that He exists. Second, that He rewards. Do you believe that? God rewards those who diligently seek Him. God is looking to bless and to honor your life and to reward you. He wants to do good in you. He wants to do good through you. Where there is no risk, there is no faith. Where there is no faith, there is no change. Where there is no change, there is no growth. It is impossible to grow unless you become a progressive risk taker. Now, I put that word progressive in there, and I put the word choose for a reason, because it doesn't come easy, does it? Now, some of you have that spirit, and you like change just because you like change. The rest of the world kind of likes things the way they are, and change feels very threatening. But if you want to grow, you must choose to become a progressive risk taker. You must choose to move out of your comfort zone relationally and initiate things that you're uncomfortable with. You have to choose to move out of your comfort zone and get involved in ministry beyond what you think you can handle. You have to choose to move out of your comfort zone and your time and your structure and be a little more flexible than you're comfortable with. You have to choose to get out of your comfort zone and begin to do some things financially that will really reveal where your heart's at. And it's risk. If a personal quiet time transformed the values, the thinking, and the relationships and shaped my life in the area of faith, learning how to give biblically was absolutely, without a doubt, the greatest risk-taking area ever. Now, I didn't grow up in church, and the churches I grew up in, I didn't like. And my big suspicion about Christianity was all they want is your money, because that's what it sounded like from those people on TV. And so I trust Christ, and they give me a Bible, and I start reading it. I had a long way to go in my views. So I'm a Christian 3 years, and finally I decided I'm going to give $5 a month to this missionary couple in Japan. And I'm thinking that they may be the luckiest group in the whole world to get that from me. I mean, I had a clear philosophy of giving growing up. You give a quarter in the bag every time it comes around as a kid. When you get older, you bump it to a dollar. And if you're feeling kind of spiritual, you go with a five. I'm serious. That was my view of giving. The idea of a percentage, the idea of 10% of my gross income, it was like, are these people nuts? I mean, where does this come from? You know what I understood? If you don't learn, according to Jesus, to give your money, your heart, your time, your relationships, all those are a lot harder. See, Jesus talked more about money than heaven and hell combined. Why? He didn't live in a mansion. He didn't want nor need anyone's money. What he understood is the link between money and your heart, money and worship, is inseparable. And so according to Jesus, you can serve God or mammon, money, but there's no in between. And so early on for me, I started with $5, and then I started with, like, you know, 5 or 10%, and now over the years, I willfully put myself in a place as a team, as a family, to give where, if God doesn't show up this year, Teresa and I have a major problem. But he's shown up in ways beyond what I ever dreamed. I'm not starving. We're among the richest people in the whole world. And if I didn't spend that money there and give, you know what? I'd spend it someplace else. And the fact of the matter is, I could give you a list of blessings in my life, but here's the point. I learned to trust. Until you learn to trust with money, you really believe something tangible and easy where you can see God show up, you're going to start to break through lifelong relational patterns? Probably not. You're going to take steps of risk into ministry? You're going to begin to face things and say, I'm going to be a difference maker in my world? See, it's just actually the smallest risk you ever take is learning how to give money. Now, I mean, I know it's a real taboo subject and all that rest in the church because of so much, you know, poor teaching and lack of teaching and abuse. But the Bible, it's clear. If there's no risk, there's no faith. And so that's why Jesus said in this area, Luke 6:38, give and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over back into your lap. His point is, you're not going to outgive me. And I don't want your stuff. I want your heart. So give and it. Give your time. Give your compassion. Give your money. Give your love. You know what happens? It always will come back. Shaken down, pressed down, more. But I don't know about you. That was a toughie for me. And I really had to trust the people I was giving it to. Because I'm a skeptic. It's the key to change. Unless you try something beyond what you can already do, you will never grow. Have you realized that's the way life works? You know how God usually does that in your life? Instead of us willfully choosing to put ourselves in that position, he brings in a crisis, doesn't he? He allows a crisis where you have this capacity, and God brings a crisis or a situation that demands this. And the distance between what you have and what's required, you know what you do? You grow. You can't handle it. Boy, you have a child. You get laid off work. You have a problem relationship. And the distance between, what do you do? It's amazing how my prayer life just perks right up when crisis occurs. It's amazing how I seek out stimulating relationships. Like, what did you do with this teenage son? Help me, help me. I've never been through this before, you know? It's amazing. You will grow. But God says, you don't have to wait for a crisis. You can do it voluntarily. Six, people who grow leverage life's hardship. It's the key to character. Notice what it says in James 1, verses 2 to 4. Consider it. That means it's a choice. Pure joy. That's an attitude. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Not if, but whenever. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance or endurance. Now notice what endurance does in your life. Perseverance or endurance must finish its work so that you may be, here's our word again, circle it, mature and complete, lacking in nothing. People who grow leverage life's hardships. Stagnant people, when difficulty comes their way, here's their question. Why me, Lord? People who grow, when hardship comes into their life, they say, what do you want to teach me, Lord? See the difference? Stagnant people blame God, blame other people, and look outward. Growing people say, a sovereign God who's good, who loves me, somehow has allowed something come into my life that's very hard. And by his grace, I'm going to, the word here for endurance is hupomeno, literally to be under the pressure of. Hupo, under the pressure of. And God puts something on your back and you can hardly take it. And it's heavy and you can hardly take it. 90% of success in life is not giving up. You can hardly take it. You can hardly take it. You can hardly take it. You know when you can hardly take something and there's weight on your back? You know what happens after a while? You athletes know, don't you? What happens? Your muscles get stronger. After a while, the weight doesn't change, but you strengthen and you can take that and put that weight on a backpack and walk right through life. And we see people doing it with leukemia. We see people doing it with shattered lives. We see people who've been rejected and hurt. And boy, they walk right through life because they're special. No, they endured. What's your attitude? Are you leveraging life's hardship? Or are they leveraging you? Notice the final one. People who grow make time for solitude and silence. It's the key to guidance. Speaking of the life of our Lord, it says very early in the morning, literally a great while before dawn, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. See, growing people have a very clear sense of transcendence and worship. If you read the context in Mark 1, it's the busiest day ever recorded in the life of our Lord. He's teaching. He's praying. People are packed in. They're getting him from all. Man, I mean, he is just packed. I don't know about you, but when I have a day or a week like that, I sort of think, I deserve a break today. So get out and get away, you know? But Jesus didn't. Jesus understood the more pressure on your life, the more private time, the more silence, the more solitude you need with the Father. And so after an exhausting day, a great while before dawn, and I think I know what he prayed. I think he prayed, Father, man, this thing is going too fast. I feel pulled. James wants this. John wants this. The crowd's in. There's more needs. I can't handle it. Help me remember, oh God. Father, being fully God, yes, but fully man, help me remember what you sent me to do. Everyone has a wonderful plan for my life, but I want the plan we came up with. Give me focus. And you're saying, boy, Chip, you must have tremendous insight to get all that out of that verse. No, what I know is that if you read the context afterwards, Peter, John, James, the guys say, hey, you were a hit. It's awesome. The crowd's waiting. You're famous. We're famous. It's big time. And his answer was, I have need to go to other towns and to other villages. We must leave. Grammatically, imperative. Must leave. For I came to preach and to heal and to forgive sins. You see, you need guidance. And the only way you get guidance is by stopping life. Busyness is the enemy's tool for a barren life. And we must stop and get guidance. We must stop and remember, what is it that we're put on this earth to do? So that we can come back and say no boldly to all the world's wonderful plan for our life. And you're saying, I don't have time to stop. I say, well, why? Well, because I got to get to work. Why are you going to work? Because I got to do this, because I got to do that. Well, why? Well, because I got it. Says Ahua. You've never had a sick day at work? You've never had something happen where life stopped for 2 days and you had to go to an emergency room? And I bet the company just fell apart both days, right? See, the fact of the matter is we can choose to stop, plan in our schedule, and hear from God. I think you need to do it a little every day. And I think every month or 6 weeks, you need a full day to say, Lord, help me remember why I'm here, where I'm going. If you want to do a quick review, people who grow have some things in common. People who grow live daily, wow, with the end in view. It's the key to motivation. People who grow make a personal commitment to grow. Have you made it? It's the key to overcoming inertia. Third, people who grow value process more than event. It's the key to progress. Fourth, people who grow cultivate stimulating relationships. It's the key to inspiration. Fifth, people who grow choose to become progressive risk takers. It's the key to change. People who grow leverage life's hardships. It's the key to character. And finally, people who grow make time for solitude and silence. It's the key to guidance. Want a game plan for today? First, make a commitment to grow today. Second, prioritize the area of your growth. There's a domino principle here. You can't do all seven of these things. Don't even try. What one thing is a little light keep pulsating in your heart and your mind that says, I need to address that? And you address that, and then God will show you. Don't get overwhelmed. Third, take one specific step this week, even if it's small, but do something. Take a step toward God, one specific step this week. Write it down and tell someone. Growth is exciting. It's normal. It's fun. It's fantastic. It's difficult. It's not automatic. And we get stuck. But we don't have to stay there, do we?
If you find yourself stuck in a rut, why not take God up on His promise and ask Him for help? He won't let you down. Maybe as you listened, you thought of someone who's really struggling in this area of motivation. Why not share this message? It might be just what they need to get through this difficult time. Now to do that, just go to livingontheedge.org, tap Listen Now, and share. Chip will be right back, but if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And this message is part of Chip's series called Breaking Through Life's Biggest Barriers. In this series, Chip tackles some of the most common obstacles to personal growth. You'll learn how to overcome the feelings of loneliness and isolation. You'll discover how to conquer personal stagnation. And you'll find out how to defeat the thoughts of inferiority and a low self-image. It's a series that'll bring hope and give you the tools you need to build a better future based on the truth of God's unfailing love. This series is available for a limited time at a special on-air discount price. To order Chip's series, Breaking Through Life's Biggest Barriers, just dial 1-888-333-6003 or visit us online at livingontheedge.org. Well, now here's Chip to let you know about a great new resource from Living on the Edge.
I'll be right back to talk more about how to break through life's barriers in just a minute. But what I want you to hear right now is something special that we have, I think, that can change 2019 for you. What we know is that when we get into God's Word, it changes our mind and our heart. What we also know is a lot of people struggle to get into God's Word, or when they get into God's Word, they don't understand or they don't really experience and hear God's voice. We've created a brand new online video course. It's only 5 parts. The teaching is brief. And what I can tell you is, it's how God taught me to hear His voice as I get into the Bible. And I think it'll be a very simple way for you and those you love to get into God's Word on a regular basis and make that the habit of your life, where you begin to hear His voice. You hear His whisper. He speaks to you. He gives direction.
How to Hear God's Voice in Scripture. It's absolutely free. It's an online video course. And then, by the way, after you do it, we actually have a Bible study called Encountering Jesus in the Gospel of John that will take all those principles and help you practice it so this becomes literally a new habit and experience in your life.
Thanks, Chip. Well, this online video course, How to Hear God's Voice in Scripture, really is a great new resource from Living on the Edge. No matter where you are in reading the Bible, what Chip shares will take your ability to discern God's voice to a whole new level. You can do these 5 video sessions on your own time, at your own pace. As your relationship with God deepens, your confidence will increase, and you'll actually begin to look forward to spending time with Him. Just go online to livingontheedge.org and take your next step toward hearing God speak to you through His Word. Well, now here's Chip with some final application.
As we ended today's message, I really challenged you to take a step. I mean, get committed to say, I am going to be a growing person. You know, all of life revolves around a few times where you make a very specific commitment, and then you play those commitments out, and your life changes. God wants you to change. He has grace to give you. But my concern was, as we finished today's lesson together, was you're thinking, oh, you went so fast. You went so fast. I didn't get them all down, and I'm not sure exactly which one. As you were talking, a light went off inside, but you just went too fast. So here's what I want to do. I want to walk through those 7 keys to personal growth. And as I do, if you can jot them down, great. But if not, I'm much more concerned that you say, Holy Spirit, as He goes through these 7 things, will you show me which one, just one, that you want me to focus on and come up with a game plan by your leading to become the man or the woman that you want me to be? Are you ready? 7 keys to personal growth. Number 1, live daily with the end in mind. Who do you really want to be? What kind of person? Growth point number 2, make a personal commitment to grow. You drive a stake in the ground. You say, I'm going to deny myself and I'm going to follow Christ. I am going to be the man or the woman He wants me to be. And you know the implications, don't you? Have you ever done that? Growth key number 3, value process more than event. Remember we talked about he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful in also in much? You see, the secret to your future is hidden, not in a big emotional event. It's hidden in daily little routines. You learn day by day to do little things that take you on a path toward becoming more and more like Christ, to having a deeper and deeper marriage, of being a better and better parent. It's the little things. Number 4, cultivate stimulating relationships. You know, some of you, you just need to get your head up out of the sand and say, who's some exciting people to be around? Ask, you know, buy lunch, buy them breakfast, get a cup of coffee. When you get around stimulating people, you'll grow. Number 5, choose to become progressive risk takers. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You got to get out of your comfort zone. Take a little step, then take a bigger step. Remember what I said? If you're not dreaming great big dreams, then you're not dreaming big enough. God wants to do something marvelous in you and through you. And that dream might start right inside your own house. Number 6, leverage life's hardships. You know, the question isn't about if, it's just a question about when. Hurts and pain and struggles come into all of our lives. Are you asking the question, why me? Or are you really asking, God, what do you want me to learn? And you ask Him honestly, He'll show you and He'll grow you. And finally, point number 7 in terms of a key to growth is make time for solitude and silence. If you don't meet with God daily, I challenge you before God, start now. Set that clock 15 minutes earlier, get up and meet with the God who loves you. He'll grow you and you'll love it.
You know, a great way to stay engaged and connected to Chip and Living on the Edge is with the Chip Ingram app. You'll get free access to all of Chip's recent messages, his message notes, and much more. Not only that, but it couldn't be easier to order resources or call or email us directly from the app. Download the Chip Ingram app when you go to Google Play or the App Store. And then maybe set a timer for a couple of weeks and let us know how you're doing. Well, tomorrow on Living on the Edge, Chip will continue our current series, so be sure to make plans to join us then. For now, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.